Welcome to the 303 Sports Podcast. I got Kieran on, my co-host, as usual. We have a third person today, David Brewster. David, you were on the show before. Welcome back, buddy.
I'd like to give a large shalom to all the listeners.
Awesome. Kieran, you know, long time no see, you know, a couple days. What's up?
I'm very sad to be back up in Washington where I have to watch the Seahawks again. Actually, we got a little break, but I have to be around the Seahawks again.
The Pete Carroll Seahawks.
The Pete Carroll Seahawks. Awesome.
All right.
We're not going to be any better.
Fight on, Seahawks. Fight on.
All right, so we're gonna get to the NFL playoffs today. Talk about each game in a divisional round, which is a pretty lame name. Round two, the bye week round, where you get the teams that were hiding during the wild card round that you are always lurking there. At the end of the show, if we have time, if I want to, we'll see. We could talk about Mark McGwire and how he's an idiot. Kieran, I mean, I think you
Mark McGwire is the reason that I like the St. Louis Cardinals and baseball. So let's be a little careful. He was just trying to get healthy. He didn't hit the ball any farther with those things.
Nope, not at all. All right, what a great guy. I'm sure you got pissed off though when you were younger because the spelling of his last name, huh?
Yeah, he always spelled it wrong, and I never understood how he could do that.
Yeah, that sucks. All right, anywho, let's get into the NFL. First game of the week is Arizona at New Orleans. New Orleans not looking so hot. They've lost three straight games. Going in, they were 13-0. Now they're 13-3. You know, they lost that close one to Dallas. You know, they were actually trying for that one, and then they lost to Tampa Bay at home. And then they didn't play any of their starters and lost to Carolina. Anyway, Drew Brees has been just sitting on the bench. Or he sat on the bench for their final game, and now he's been, you know, sitting for their bye week. So he's really anxious to get out there. Arizona, they have an offense, definitely. Defense, questionable. They have a defense that can make one play in overtime. Brewster, I'll let you start off. Who do you like in this game and why?
I like the Saints in this game. And, I mean, I'm a big fan of Kurt Warner and all, but I feel like New Orleans is a pretty hostile environment. The fans there are always rowdy. I don't know. I think I'm not an opponent to the whole resting your players thing. I know a lot of people are crying about that this year, especially when you had the Colts who had a fairly decent chance to go undefeated. I don't know. I feel like the Saints are going to come out firing. The Cardinals have been doing a lot of trash talk this week, so I think I'm pulling for the Saints on this one.
Okay. What about you, Kieran?
I don't know. This is probably the toughest game of the weekend to pick because you don't know what Saints team you're going to get.
Nor do you know which Arizona team you're going to get.
You never know which Arizona team you're going to get. Because both teams have shown that they're very capable of coming out and just laying a huge egg. I don't want to get too caught up in the Cardinals' win over the Packers. They played really well, but it just didn't seem like something that they could carry on into the next game. But the Saints have been resting people, and the Saints are a relatively young and inexperienced team. And I never agree with the idea of resting your starters if you don't have a good group of veterans on that team.
Well, they do. Darren Sharper and Jonathan Vilma on defense. Those guys have been around for a while. I mean, Vilma not as long. Drew Brees is a proven veteran. He's won in the playoffs before. I mean, both teams are pretty seasoned in terms of you know, postseason play. New Orleans, you know, a couple years ago, Arizona last year, they're relatively new to the party, but both have veteran quarterbacks. So who did you say you were picking?
Let's see. I think I'm going to take the Cardinals in this one. I still think that when they play their best, they're better than any of the teams in the playoffs. So I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Saints because I don't think a team can look so good all year and just lay an egg. I don't think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I do think they can at least muster one game and not just, you know, mail it in down the stretch and then lose their first playoff game, lose four straight after going 13-0. It seems unthinkable to me, and I don't see why.
Well, Sven, what makes you think that they're going to be able to turn it around after those three straight?
I don't know. They're a similar team. Like, Arizona. What makes you think Arizona can play, like, trash against Green Bay and then come out firing?
I don't know if you guys were
watching, but... They 55 points against an NFL defense.
Yeah, that Cardinals defense didn't even show up the other day, you know? Like, neither. I mean, the Packers defense didn't either, and that's what made it a close game. But if the Cardinals defense has a similar performance this week, Drew Brees is just going to exploit that secondary all day long. It's not going to be a
close game. They got three turnovers.
Well, the thing about the Saints, this is the same sort of matchup as the Packers game was, because they're both really high octane offenses, just like the Packers offense was. And that Cardinals and Packers game, you could tell right off the bat that it was that both teams just kind of pushed their defenses to the side, and they said it was going to be a shootout. And I feel like that's going to be the same thing with this game.
Right. Well, I agree with you in that, but I do think the defenses are good enough to make plays when, you know, not necessarily when it matters, but I mean, they're still NFL players. You know, they might not be always be in the right position all the time, or, you know, a veteran quarterback can pick them apart. But I mean, they still have playmakers on each side. I just think New Orleans just, I know home field advantage doesn't matter in the playoffs as much as it used to, but in the Superdome this time of year, I think it will make a difference. And that's why I'm going with the Saints. So Bruce, well, you're on the
If there's any road team that can take down the Saints, it's the Cardinals, because they are better on the road than they are at home.
Yeah, that's true. And Bruce, you're on the Saints?
Yeah, I'm on the Saints. I think even though the Saints had a rough last month or so of the season, I think they're as strong as they were showing in the beginning of the season.
All right. Let's move on to the next game: Baltimore at Indianapolis. Peyton Manning just got his fourth MVP, but he's notorious for backing up his MVP performances by losing in the playoffs. Colts have basically taken a month off. Unlike the Saints, they actually did give up on their games. Baltimore, I mean, Joe Flacco last week was 4 for 10 for like 36 yards and an interception, and they dominated the Patriots. But, you know, Peyton Manning is – the Colts are better than the Patriots, obviously. They beat them, you know, head-to-head. You know, say what you will about that game. But anyway, I think the Colts have more firepower. So if Baltimore falls behind, I don't know if Joe Flacco can lead them back. But they could run the ball against them. You know, you just got to stick to the book against the Colts. You hold the ball from Peyton Manning. Keep him off the field. He can't beat you when he's not sitting on the field. Run the ball down their throat 4 yards every play, like they did last week, and the Ravens have a chance. What do you guys think?
Kieran, you can take it first.
All right, well, the Colts were notorious for getting down to teams early and then having to lead late charges. So in that sense, Baltimore might not have to worry about that so much with having Flacco lead a game-winning drive. This is the only game where I'm actually rooting against a team. I am praying that the Colts lose. I hope they don't score a point, because the fact that they rolled over for the last month of the season was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it. I mean, their coach picked an amazing time to actually step in and be a coach, because that team could have rolled to the playoffs 16-0, and they would have been on everybody's list as the favorite to win it all. So I hope – I don't want to say that I hope people get injured. I don't think my disdain goes that far, but I hope that this game is over in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, Brewster.
I'm a big fan of the Baltimore Ravens this year, and I'm not a big fan of Joe Flacco. I don't think that he's always cracked out to be, but I like the Ravens because of Ray Rice. Ray Rice is a very solid running back. I think he's got speed. He's got a lot of NFL talent coming out of Rutgers, which we all know is a solid football school right now. I don't know. I think I think the Ravens are going to run all over the Colts. The Colts defense, once again, is not up to par, you know. Their offense has carried them through this season, like always, and I think it's going to come back to bite them this Sunday.
Right,
and the Ravens are the best road team in the playoffs in the last decade, so that would be a problem.
They're like the perennial wild card team. They're never quite good enough to win the division, but they're there for the wild card. Well, the last week, the Ravens beat the Patriots, obviously, and the Patriots beat the Ravens in the regular season. And Indy beat Baltimore in the regular season. You know, it could flip around. I'm going to go ahead and take the Ravens. Kind of, you know, I guess I could apply the same logic to pick Indy that I did to pick New Orleans. But I'm just going to reverse it because the NFL is weird like that. You can, you know, have a completely logical argument and then just flip it on its head and it still makes sense, you know? I think it's going to be kind of a carbon copy of last week. I think Indy's going to show more heart than the Patriots did in coming back, but I think Baltimore is going to be able to hold them off and make enough plays on defense. Maybe Ed Reed doing something a little crazy. Never hurt the Ravens. So I assume both of you guys are picking the Ravens.
Yeah,
I'm picking the Ravens because, like I said before, Joe Flacco no longer has that unibrow, so he's poised for the playoffs. He's all gussied up for the playoffs.
All right, let's move on to the next game, the Sunday morning game, Dallas at Minnesota. Romo and Favre in the spotlight for this one, considering Romo has kind of shaken off his late season jinx. You know, he's won games in December. He's won a playoff game. Brett Favre having like his best career year at the age of 40. But I think they might be a wash for each other because if when you look at them just as like the big picture of how they play quarterback, they're both kind of gunslingers. They make mistakes. They run sometimes. You know, they get picked off, but they're also amazing at the same time. So I think it might just come down to the running games. When you look at the running games, those are pretty similar too. You got Adrian Peterson on the Vikings, and then you got the three-headed monster on Dallas, Marion Barber, Felix Jones, and Deshard Choice. So they kind of wash out too. So I don't know, what's the difference in this game? Could it be the home field advantage? Maybe it's in a dome. Could it be just some weird play? Could it be a ref's decision? I think it might just come down to something like that. What are your thoughts, Brewster?
I don't know. This is a tough pick. I think this is one of the toughest. You know, I really like – I'm a big fan of Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen's a big-time playmaker, and he changes games. And if he's putting pressure on Tony Romo all day, I don't really see Tony Romo as a guy who can handle that pressure. So I think it's going to rely a lot on the Vikings defense and if they can step up and be the team that they were in the early stages of the season. And, I mean, I'm not the biggest Brett Favre fan, but you got to hand it to the guy. You know, he's one of the best. I'm going to pick the Vikings. I'm going to pick the Vikings on this one.
Okay, what about you, Karen?
Yeah, I think this game is going to be kind of a statement game for the Vikings because – With the emergence of the Chargers in the last 10 games, likewise with the real downslope of the Colts, the Chargers have kind of emerged as many people's Super Bowl favorite, and the Vikings have kind of gone under the radar just a little bit, as much as you can for being a division winner, but they play really well at home and they are fired up coming into the playoffs. They are the one team, other than the Chargers, with a bye that came in with a bye that I really felt is going to play their best football come the playoff time. I mean, they have Adrian Peterson, who he's as emotional of a player as you can find because when he doesn't play well or when he takes a hit on the field, he comes back the next time and just runs it straight over your face and. He has not been playing well the last couple weeks, so I think we're going to see a fired-up Adrian Peterson. Brett Favre's obviously going to be fired up, so I think that this is going to be a good game. Like you said, Jared Allen is going to chase Tony Romo all over the field, probably back into the locker room for a little bit. But I'm picking the Vikings in this one.
Vikings. All right. Well, I'm going to pick the Cowboys. Here's why. Because never have they been this hot. in the playoffs.
That's not true. That's not true. They were hot, and then Tony Romo botched a extra point, and they lost.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Against my Seattle Seahawks.
That's a fluke. Yeah. It's a fluke.
That's the only way that Seattle can win playoff games is by other people dropping the ball.
Yeah, oh, those Seahawks, they suck. Why do you have to keep bringing them up? This is a playoff podcast. We don't want that filth in our playoff podcast.
Because anyway. I have to exist in this environment.
I'm sorry, you don't even live in Seattle. All right. So here, I don't really have, like Dallas, they're looking good. Well, Minnesota, they were looking good. They won their last game. You know, they kind of tailed off a little bit in December. So both teams are, you know, you can feel confident picking either one because both are solid. That's what you get at this point in the year, you know, two solid teams. So I'm just going to, it's essentially a coin flip because I think there's going to be a couple breaks that go the Cowboys' way because, you know, that's kind of how they've been playing recently. Their defense is fierce right now, like hungry, very hungry. I don't think Dallas has been this hungry in a while and like had the players that weren't kind of bitching about, like, let's go to Cancun for a bye week and all that kind of jazz. And they're actually focused. I mean, I think I wrote this earlier. I mean, this seems to be the quietest good Cowboys team that we've heard of in a while. You know, maybe it's the T.O. Yep. no-show. You know, there's not that much drama going around other than football, like them being good at football.
I do agree. That is the one thing that the Cowboys, or one of the things that they have going for them, they've really kind of shut their mouths, and you haven't had any kind of drama, no Jerry Jones, nothing about that. I mean, they've shaken off the drama of not being able to win playoff game or not being able to win games in December, and they've really just quietly gone about their business, and that's the thing that scares me the most about their team.
Yeah, that's why, because that's the difference I see in their team this year. That's why I'm going to go ahead and pick them. Should we move on? Do you guys have anything else to say about these guys?
No, I think I'm sad.
All right. You've spoken your piece. All right. Final game of the weekend, New York Jets at San Diego.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Whatever, bro. Philip Rivers has basically had a career year. All at the same time, he's had no running game. So the defenses that he's been playing know that he's going to pass, and he torches them all the time. The Jets played the Bengals last week. The Bengals. So we have to – you can't let that fog cloud your judgment too much. I mean, the past three teams they've played, the Colts who gave up, the Bengals who gave up, and the Bengals who tried but weren't really that good anyway. So it doesn't matter. We have to remember still the Jets have a rookie quarterback. He looked good last week, but he was playing the Bengals.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he has such a solid running game that it's easy to disguise Mark Sanchez when it's a close game and when you need him to just make like a 3rd and 8 every once in a while or like do a play action. Because when you're running it that well, the play action pass works so much better. I think you could see it last week especially because they scored a fairly long touchdown after a play action pass. I don't think that kind of game will work against the Chargers because the Chargers can score so fast. You can never put the Chargers away, I don't believe, unless you're up
yes,
by...
Yes, there's one time that you can put the Chargers away, and that's in the postseason. So, I mean, that's not really an argument.
Well, I mean, look at their past couple years. The Chargers beat the Colts last year. I mean, the Chargers were 8-8 and beat the Colts. And then they.
And how far did they go? They had a great team, and how far did they go? Every year they have a good team, they have a good quarterback, they have a good defense, and what happens? They choke in the playoffs. I mean... It's the same team. Don't let them fool you this year. It's the exact same thing.
They've won a playoff game each of the past 2 years. I wouldn't call that choking.
Well, every year people are saying, oh, look at the Chargers. Look at the Chargers. They're getting hot. They're going to the Super Bowl this year. And what do? They lay an egg the next game. It's going to happen. It's just the San Diego Super, whatever you want to call them, Chargers. They lay eggs. That's their job.
They're playing the Jets. Last year they were playing the Steelers, the eventual Super Bowl champion Steelers. They get eliminated by the eventual Super Bowl.
They're not just playing the Jets. They're playing the Daryl Revis-led Jets. And Daryl Revis is like Champ Bailey times 10. Daryl Revis has shut down every major wide receiver in the league this year.
Revis can only match
Andre Johnson, Chad Ochocinco twice. he shuts down the big receivers, okay? So put him on Vincent Jackson. That takes out their biggest pass threat, okay? Then you get someone to cover Antonio Gates. The Jets' defense is better than the Chargers' defense, head-to-head.
Well, yeah. Okay?
And in the past, Phillip Rivers has not come out and performed well in the playoffs. So I think it's going to happen again this year.
He's a good playoff performer. They won last year. He got his ACL blown up.
Yeah, they won on the shoulders of Darren Sproles.
Yeah, X factor.
But he hasn't been much of an X factor this year when people have been able to game plan for him.
Yeah, they don't have to game plan for a running back on that team. They're a passing team.
So if you take away the X factor and you take away their best receiver,
you have the best tight end in the league.
There's no way.
You have a very good tight end with a good quarterback who doesn't have his number one target, and he doesn't have a game-changing running back. This is assuming that the Jets defense can take all these things away.
Yeah.
And I think that if there's one team that can play with the Jets defense, it's probably the Chargers. If the Chargers defense shows up, and I mean they're gonna stack the box against whoever is in the backfield, whether it's Thomas Jones or Sean with two N's Green, and they're gonna throw everything at him and make Mark Sanchez beat him. Mark Sanchez showed that he can beat the Bengals. He was 12 for 15 with like a 180 for a touchdown. He can beat the Bengals, but everybody knew that the Bengals were a pretender, and that nobody
really
wants. Well,
everyone wants to know that the Chargers are a pretender. They've been a pretender the last 3 years. The Chargers have had one single season in their history where they weren't pretenders, and they still didn't win the Super Bowl. It's the same San Diego Superchargers that they've always been.
Yeah, well, okay, so you're picking the Jets, I assume, Brewster.
I'm picking the Jets on one condition, and that's that the young quarterback, Mark Sanchez, comes out and makes smart decisions.
You can't conditionally pick someone.
Yes, I can. I can conditionally pick something. It's a condition. If Mark Sanchez comes out and doesn't make smart decisions, there's no way the Jets can win this game. And it's not because the Chargers are good. It's not because Phillip Rivers is good. It's just because the Jets have a young quarterback.
I'm picking the Jets.
I'm picking the Jets.
Okay, yeah, you can't say I pick the Jets if Mark Sanchez plays.
Well, I'm saying that for our listeners, if Mark Sanchez goes out and makes a bunch of mistakes, don't say I didn't warn you.
Well, yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and conditionally pick the Jets, on one condition, if they score more points than the Chargers.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that they're playing in San Diego, and you know where Mark Sanchez played college ball. He played it in the great state of California.
Right on.
Where it doesn't get cold, and Mark Sanchez is afraid of cold weather. If he sees his breath, he pees his pants, and it's going to be pretty warm down in San Diego. So I think he's going to have a pretty good shot at beating the Chargers. I'm picking the Jets.
Do you think the Sanchez is going to wear the head sock like he has the past couple games? Just to kind of balance it out, you know, even though he'll be, you know, pretty hot, he just kind of
sticky notes on his wrist.
Yeah. So both of you guys are picking the underdog Jets to go into San Diego and beat a team that's won 9 games in a row. Is that what
they're only underdogs because they're only underdogs because people are ignorant and think that the Chargers are a different team than they have been.
Wait, but I mean, Kieran, you picked the Bengals last week. You've completely flopped on the Jets after seeing them.
I picked the Bengals because I didn't think that because I thought that the Bengals had a good enough defense where they would stack the box against the Jets' run defense against the run game, make Mark Sanchez beat them, and he did it. And you just can't account for random things like that because Mark Sanchez doesn't beat teams like that, and he didn't do it by himself. The running game tore up the Bengals, but he managed the game well, and Cincinnati came with the same mentality that they did in Week 17.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna go ahead and say both you guys are stupid. The Chargers are gonna win, and they're gonna win something like 40-7. It's not even gonna be close. I mean, this is gonna be the game that everyone's like, oh, all right. Well, now I can go outside and know, see the sun after this weekend of watching just football. Like, okay, that's nice. They'll win.
Do you think the Chargers have a legitimate shot at winning the Super Bowl this year?
I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl, yeah.
Ben, the Chargers are... You're just as ignorant as everybody else, Ben.
Well, Chargers, I'll be ignorantly right once they win.
Sven, let me go across the sports gambit and compare them to a soccer team.
Okay.
They're an underachieving team. The Chargers are a very underachieving team. As soon as you start picking them and start placing them on a pedestal, they immediately let you down. They're like any sports team from Clemson, whether it's college basketball or college football. As soon as you pick Clemson, they lose. And they're like Portugal. They're an underachieving team.
Portugal is like a little mini country. You can't say that. Like, yeah, Spain. Spain is a better example. They've won the...
Why are you picking on Portugal, man? I mean,
they're an underachieving soccer team.
They're a little country. They achieve as much as they can.
No, if you pick Portugal to be one of the best teams in the World Cup, and you pick them to go far in the World Cup, and they don't do it, that's underachieving.
When was the last time you picked Portugal to go far in the World Cup? Did you do that last 06?
Did I? I didn't do that in 06 because it's not my job.
Yeah, so what about 02? Like, you say when you pick Portugal to go far in the World Cup. Like, there's one World Cup every 4 years.
When you, Sven, you're responsible.
When I pick Portugal. I don't pick Portugal. USA beat Portugal in 02, baby. Yeah. All right. Let's move on from football. I feel bad as a Broncos fan, you know, jumping on the Chargers bandwagon like this, but I'm an impartial NFL fan. Like, I can compartmentalize games.
At least me and Brewster don't go against our home team. You know?
I'm not a Jets fan. I'm picking the team that I think is going to win, and I think you guys.
I'm not a Jets fan either, but I'm not a traitor.
And I'm not picking the Jets because I'm a Broncos fan. I'm picking the Jets because the Chargers are once again overrated.
Well, give me some why. All right, just because don't start on this. Anywho, all right, let's move on to Big Mac, the man of 1998, Mark McGwire. Cheater, Mark McGwire.
Easy on the cheater. He was recovering from an injury.
Injuries, apparently. He was breaking down. He was just breaking down.
And he was breaking down because steroids made his head weigh 15 pounds.
Hold on, wait, time out 1 second. Before we get on this topic, I'd just like to say, last night I went to the CU basketball game. And I got a little something they like to call the Basketball Jones. CU Boulder, home of Big 12 basketball. The Colorado Buffaloes beating the Baylor Bears, one of the biggest upsets of the year. Actually, one of the biggest upsets of all time in all sports. Did I want to rush the floor? Yes, I did. But there were cops there. I couldn't rush the floor. It's a big win. I just like to say the program up here is it's on an upswing right now. Jeff Bezdelic receives all the credit from me. Corey Higgins, future NBA star. Okay, now we can talk about baseball.
Hey, well, Alec Burks made the top 10 on SportsCenter. Andy was on Sports Nation today as a highlight. His reverse layup.
Yeah, no, it's because Colorado Buffaloes basketball is they're going places. They're going places.
Well, when we play at home.
Did our boy Levi play?
I don't know. Did he play?
Probably not.
No, Levi didn't see any time last night, but let me tell you, he's number one in our hearts.
He's number 12 on your playbooks. Number 1 in your heart.
All right, so Kieran, obviously you like Big Mac. Defend him, please.
All right. None of us knows the grueling 162-game baseball season. We don't know what it's like, and it's obviously very tough on players' bodies because not one player goes their career without an injury. And Mark McGwire was not fortunate enough to survive without injury. I am giving you my case. He was not fortunate enough to go without injuries. He did suffer injuries. He's a big guy. He's always been a pretty large figure, even when he was in Oakland. Even when he had that mullet, it was like a Barry Melrose power mullet. And, you know, sometimes you want to get back out there. You got to do everything you can do to get back out on the field and play the game you love. And I don't hold that against him.
Like, let Jose Canseco juice you up. All right. That makes sense, I guess. Not. He still did it. It was fairly obvious. It took him 12 years to admit it. He's trying to take the in-between road, not the high road, saying, yeah, no, none of my numbers should count. You know, I cheated. That would be the high road. The low road is, I didn't take steroids. You guys are crazy. Took the in-between. I took steroids, but it didn't affect my numbers. So he still wants the praise and the aura of his 70-home-run season and over 500 home runs and all that. But he doesn't want, you know, the people to say, well, he's a cheater. He's a bad person. He did all this. So he wants the in-between. There is no in-between when you – I mean, it did help him. I mean, you can't make the case that it did not help him.
What you don't understand is that all athletes suffer through injuries. And when they're injured, they don't play. And when they don't play, they don't get numbers. So when you take steroids to help injuries, you play longer. You play more games than other players, giving you a chance to build up your numbers more. It's still cheating. No matter how you cut the cake, it's still cheating. And in my opinion, it's even more embarrassing for him because he didn't come out and apologize fully. It's just, it's a joke. He's a joke. He doesn't belong. You know, Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay, that guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire doesn't even deserve to be mentioned in anybody's breath anymore.
All right, well, first of all, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, that whole 1998 home run chase, that was during a time when baseball was incredibly down with viewers, and that brought the game back.
So okay, and now all these steroid allegations are bringing the game back down. It doesn't matter. Now that everyone knows that they're cheating, everyone figures that the integrity of the game is crap. So, okay,
you know
sure.
To, you know how to fix that?
They brought the game back, but now it's going to the garbage now.
You know, and you know how you bring the game back? You embrace don't steroids.
Cheat. You don't you cheat. You don't do steroids.
You embrace them. You
because if you embrace it, then there's it's no longer cheating. Because I don't care how big those athletes get. I don't care if you march out a semi truck size athlete and they're standing at the home plate. If they hit 4,000 foot home runs, because that I will pay and I will pay to see those games. I want to see the biggest athlete you can create. Because it's not my fault if you die because of your steroid injections.
How would you feel?
I deserve to see 600 foot home runs.
How would you feel if you're a great baseball player, okay? You're a great baseball player coming up through the minor leagues, but you refuse to degrade your body in that manner, which automatically puts you at a disadvantage. How would you feel? You're coming up in a game that you have absolutely no shot at just because you don't want to damage your body that much. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not integrity, and that's not what sports are all about.
Yeah.
Back when the 1910s, 1920s, when the Babe Ruth era, don't you think that there were players or right after Babe Ruth's era, because Babe Ruth didn't stay late at night at the park taking batting practice. He was out at night getting hammered drunk and smoking huge cigars. And when players started, instead of going out late at night and partying every single night and not practicing at all, started lifting weights and started taking BP and became better that way, that drove that entire last generation of ball players out of the limelight. And new generations started coming up with the new ways that they had to act and new ways that they had to train in order to become part of baseball and in order to compete. And this is just another wave of turnover. Because all those players who don't take steroids are now not going to prosper. So you're going to have to start taking steroids.
You're
not
promoting
make
steroid use.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
That is
I'm a baseball player. I love playing baseball. I would never degrade my body and put my future at risk by taking steroids. And I think that it's absurd that people who do that are praised like by people like you, Karen. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't praise a drug addict when he takes drugs.
Yeah, everyone's doing it.
It's not a drug, it's a human growth.
No, it's a drug. It's addictive and it's a drug.
Yeah, bro. It's something to put in your body to change.
It's a cream.
Are you just messing with us right now? Or are you actually
No, I think steroids are obviously ruining baseball, because all you think about when you think of baseball is the steroid era now.
Good, good. All right, I thought we lost you there for a second, but I'm glad we have
damn
you.
Damn it, 800-foot home runs. I want to see them disintegrate the ball on the bat.
I don't care how far it goes over the fence.
Come watch me play.
Sven, would you rather watch a game where it's 6-5 and every run is from a home run, or would you rather watch a game that's 6-5 and every home run or and every run is from doubles and singles?
I'll tell you what. Listen to this. As a real baseball fan, I'd rather go to the baseball park and see a no hitter than see 8 home runs in one game.
Well, yeah, but that no hitter is probably pitched by a pitcher who's been taking steroids.
Oh my God! All right, baseball's clean now, guys. We don't need to start bickering about it. So long as the Rockies are good, I think we're happy. They're good now. They sucked before because they didn't cheat in the past. I'll just say that. That's probably not true either.
As long as the Yankees go for number 28 this year, that's all that matters.
Damn it, Brewster. You and your Yankees. I mean, Kieran's got his Red Sox for some reason. I don't know why.
Kieran's an idiot. If Kieran likes the Red Sox, he just... I mean, I don't know, man.
There is Sven, a squad or something.
Sven, I'm telling you who the... I told you who the dark horse was. You know who Kansas City picked up?
Yeah,
known
Matt
steroid user Matt Hergis.
Yeah.
And if he's any type of smart, he's bringing his steroids with him.
Yeah, he'll share it with the clubhouse. All right, guys, yes. It's been a blast. Before I go, the podcast is now on iTunes. If you listened to it this far, I'm happy for you for listening to my podcast. Thank you. It's on iTunes. Search 303 Sports on the little search bar, and it'll come up. It has a little picture of Brandon Marshall, I think. I should probably change that.
And then right after you search that, search Basketball Jones by Barry White and think of the Colorado basketball team.
All right. Follow me on Twitter. Search Spencer A. Thomas or twitter.com/SpencerAThomas. Kieran has a Twitter. It's not a real word. Brewster, I don't know. Do you have any promotions here other than Basketball Jones?
I've got a MySpace page, but I don't really go on anymore. I've got a Facebook. I've got a cellular phone, but that's about it.
Are you single and disease free?
I'm both single and disease free. I carry a lot of good perks. So any of you ladies, just give me a call.
All right. Forever, guys. Thanks for coming on. Peace.
Absolutely.